So we will be back in Jeremiah 18, 1 through 18. The Lord really is laying these set of scriptures on my heart again to revisit them. You know, heavy, it's a heavy message. You know, praying over it and travail over it. And just listening to the words of Jeremiah 18, 1 through 18. And the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessels that he made of clay was marred in the hand of a potter. So he made it again. Another vessel has seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Said the Lord, Behold, as clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. At what instance I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instance I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to build and to pluck and plant it. If it do evil in my sight, that it may it obey not my voice, and I will repent of the good within I said I will benefit them. Now therefore go to speak to the man of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus said the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you. I devise a device against you. I return ye now every one from his evil way. Make your ways and your doings good. And they said, There is no hope. But we will walk after our own devices. We will every one do the imagination of an evil heart. Therefore thus said the Lord, Ask ye now among the heathen, who have heard such things, the virgin of Israel have done a very horrible thing. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which comes from the rock of the field? Or shall the cold flowing waters come from another place be forsaken? Because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity. They have caused them to stumble in their own ways, from the ancient paths the way to the walking paths. An ancient path to walk in paths in a way that not cast up. To make their land desolate, prayerful hissing, everyone pass thereby shall be abolished. And wag his head. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. Then said they, Come, let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor cancel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us met him with the tongue. Let us not give heed to any of his words. As you guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come today, in your presence, breathing in and breathing out what we may have faced this week, the challenges that we have faced, some of them can be intense and challenging. Let's breathe in and breathe out those challenges, those stressors. Lord, we know that you are in control of the storms in our lives. We know that you can control everything that's going on in our life. We just step out of the way You step out of the way and let you take fully control of it. Lord, our hope is not in man. Our hope comes from Jesus Christ, the maker, the one that said, peace be still to the storm, and the storm and the wind and the rain, the hurricane, the tornado has ceased. That power, oh, that same power lives in us, the Holy Spirit that guides us and directs us, but we can quench that Spirit. We can let our sin run rampant in our life and break that fellowship with you, Jesus. Sin is like a cancer. It will eat you up till there's nothing left. Sin is a cancer, Lord. I pray, Lord, of our nation, America. Lord, I pray over all the wickedness and the evil that we're seeing, it being glorified and rise above. America wants to be God. It does no longer want to be a nation that is under God. It wants to be a nation that is above God. And every nation that has that attitude has fallen. Lord, I don't know what's holding for America. All I know is we lift America up to you. We lift wherever your will may be for America and us, Lord. But ultimately, we are your children. We are Christians. We are supposed to be the disciples that will walk through this darkness of this world and be that light to the one, just one person or many that are seeking a hope that they can't grasp, that this world cannot give them, because it will leave them empty. Lord, I pray over this word today, Lord, that you've given me to give the heaviness of it, the brokenness of my heart, to read these scriptures, the travailing of my spirit. Lord, I pray wherever the words that you have me say reaches those that will hear, that it will penetrate the hearts and change the course of those who have been lukewarm and indifferent to the gospel, those that are not wanting to get out there and to tell people about Jesus, those who don't want to live a life that is different. We are supposed to be different. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You know, we look at Jeremiah, and last week I talked a little bit about Jeremiah, well, a lot probably about Jeremiah. Some will say that he was a weeping prophet. Some will say he was a prophet of judgment. We know that he was called by God at a young age. Some believe that he probably was in his 20s. Which was young, when this calling and this anointing came on him. And he was called in a time where they were not clinging to the scriptures, to the word of God. Their hearts were away from God. And God called Jeremiah to that word that many of our churches today in America don't want to hear. Repentance. Repentance. A lot of times we're looking, what do we need to repent of? Pride, right? We don't have to repent of anything. We want to be God. We don't want to recognize that we are sinful in nature. We are totally deprived. And that's what Israel was going through. They didn't think they needed to repent for anything. Their ways was God. They believe they are God, as America believes that they are God. A weeping prophet. You know, I came across an article. In this article, it really gives perspective. I'm always about getting perspective to get a understanding, because sometimes we don't really see the full picture of what's going on in America. In this article, the study says 6% of Americans hold to a primary Bible worldview. That 6% of Americans hold on to a Bible worldview. Meaning, really, to put that in perspective, there's only 6% of Americans that view, way they live their life, the way they act, the way they think, through the Scriptures. So, 6%, so that means 94% don't. That should shake you a little bit, right? So, Dr. George Barn in the Barn Group, which is another Christian research, which is, you know, these are reliable sources, he found that 88% of the U.S. Americans, adults, hold a mixture of worldviews instead of hinging to the one single worldview. So, on top of that, that number is a little bit easier, I guess, but still, 88% of Americans view that, no, we don't need to cling to Scripture. We can also add this, and we can also add that. And, well, you want to do a little Eastern mysticism, we can add that. And, you know, we're all trying to get to the same place. Why can't Hindu and Buddhists, they worship a similar God? So they all are trying to get to the one place. And so they combine all these together and they don't cling to the Scripture. I guarantee you that is a lot of professing Christians in our churches seeing that they fall in that category. They do not view their life through the lens of Scripture. And I guarantee you that number will probably get worse as we continue. Just think about 6%. That's not many. That's not many at all. You see, the Word of God has the final authority. You know, when I speak, when I'm here, this is not my pulpit. This is God's pulpit. You know, you will hear some say, oh, this is my pulpit. No, this is God's pulpit. See, a man that is not broken all week, a man that is not humble all week to the Word of God, is not a man fit to preach in this pulpit. It's a man who is not willing to go out there and to humble himself before a holy God and remain broken. A lot of times when I'm in my room praying and failing and my spirit is broken, I'm humble to the Word of God, because that's what it should do to a man of God. And that's what it should do to a people of God. That we should be humble and broken by the Word of God, because we see who we are to a holy and righteous God. We are sinful. We are deprived. We should see our life through this lens of Scripture. At verse 7 through 10. In what instance I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and destroy it? If that kingdom against whom I have pronounced turn their evil, I repent of the evil I thought of them. In a sense, when he says repent, does not mean God made a mistake. He's using these words to resonate with. God don't need to repent of anything. He's just getting that strong language to say, hey, recognize. You don't have to be on that course. I have given you options. You have to make that choice. And that's what he's saying. You make your choice. You know, you heard that saying. If you are an old, y'all guys may get heard this saying before. It said, well, you made your bed. You got to sleep in it. That's how, you know, I know some of the young kids may not have heard that phrase. You know, you made your bed, you sleep in it. The choices you make in your life, you have to deal with, right? And that's what God is saying here. You have a choice, Israel. You can keep doing what you're doing. You can still glorify evil. And this ain't the first time the language is used. You can go back to Genesis. You can look at Solomon and Gomorrah. You can look at the days of Noah. They did everything in their imagination was evil constantly. They were evil. And the same language is used here in the Hebrew. It's repeated. And then Jesus repeats it in the New Testament course in Greek. But that Greek and Hebrew are very closely together by the evil and repentance. And he says, if I will repent of the evil, I will change. If you choose to follow the path that I have put you on to righteousness and holiness, and at that, and what instance I shall speak concerning that kingdom to build it up, to plant it. If you do evil in my sight, that you do not obey the voice, then I will repent of the good. I will remove my blessings. I will remove my goodness. Wherein I say I would benefit them, I will lead them to their own devices. Family. Family is important. Just not the church family, but a unit, a family unit, a mother and a father. A husband and a wife. No, not a husband and a husband and a wife and a wife. That is an abomination to a holy God. No, the family unit. A husband and a wife and children. That is beautiful. And we can see that at the very beginning. God placed His hand on that marriage. Ever since then, the devil's been wanting to destroy that family unit. He's been wanting to destroy that family. That family. Genesis 3, 1 through 13. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. He said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the servant, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the servant said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God do know that in that day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave herself unto her husband with her. Adam was, I believe, was right there. And he did eat. And the eyes of them were both open, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed the fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. This is, see, Satan. Hey, somebody's dog. I think he might want to come in and say hi. They heard the joyful noise of the word of God, so they're coming to come visit. They got distracted. You see, Satan seen God create Adam. He was right there watching it. And he's seen God create Eve. And how God said, this is marriage. And ever since then, Satan's been on a rampage from the very beginning. Destroy marriage. That unit. And that's what this was. This was an attack on Eve and Adam. to destroy that union that God found that was beautiful. See, Satan wants to destroy the sacredness of marriage, and he is in America. If you don't believe me, this month is LGBT gay pride. There ain't nothing to be proud of. Sin, not even my sin should be glorified, and their sin should not be glorified. Our sins of a nation will be the judgment of God on America when we glorify sin, when we call good evil and evil good. God does not tolerate that for a time period. And I will tell you, the sacredness of family is important. A husband in a family is important. A wife in the family is important. Spiritual leaders in your home. God put the man, the husband, as a leader. Women, don't never sacrifice when you're looking for a husband. Never sacrifice. Don't ever compromise. Find you a man that loves God. A man that, and you will know. You will know. Because the scriptures will guide his life and nothing else. That's a clear indication. He will want to come to church with you. He will want to do a Bible study at home with you. How many of us, and don't wait, raise your hands as husbands, it's just a kind of thought, do we do Bible studies within our homes with our wives? Do we pray with our wives daily? Our kids daily? It's just a thought. Is work more important? Working those long hours at work and neglecting your family at home when God has called you to be that spiritual leader in that house. Don't get mad at Adam. Probably should get mad at ourselves when we look at it. We can really point our finger at Adam and say, you should have stood up. But we can't even stand up in our families. We're not even doing Bible studies in our families. We're not reading our Bible. I listened to one guy, and he's really good. I enjoy him. Preacher. And he was telling a story how at one time at the dinner table, early America, they would not eat until they read a scripture or two and prayed. They would not eat until they were looking at the Word of God and saying, you got any questions about this? You got any questions about this? How was your day? Do we do that today? Do we sit at our table before we eat and say, hey, this scripture came to mind, let's read it before we eat? Do we push our food aside and say, we want you more, Lord? Fill us with you, more of your Word than food. Fill us more with your Spirit. Guide us and direct our lives as we walk out into this world. We need more of you. See, that's how revival truly starts. When we want more of Him and less of ourselves. Our family unit is being destroyed. And it's destroyed more. And if you guys follow the Equality Act, and I've talked on this, and they're keep pushing it, I believe one day they will get it into a law. And that law, and you're already seeing that in Canada. They're arresting, I know, 6 right now, of preachers just in their church preaching against homosexuality. Not going out there and witnessing, which we're supposed to, but just in their churches, coming in, hitting them with fines, putting them in jail. Don't think America's not far from that. We are on the verge of that. It's not unless a divine hand of God sweeps through America, a true revival. Just think if only 10% of people truly look at their lives and place it per scripture and live their life like scripture, and 10%, there would be such a great awakening in America. The churches would be filled. It would be filled. But will it happen? I'm not God. Only He knows if that will happen. All I know, if it does not happen, judgment will keep on coming down. Harder and harder and harder on America. When we glorify evil, and we deglorify the Word of God. You know, there's such a... You know, there is so much stuff on television. And it's like, you know, even before I was truly saved and truly walking the path that God has laid in my heart, I was big on horror movies. Big on it. I mean, Heather will vouch. I knew stats left and right about directors, actors, and I could tell you almost it was. I was obsessed with it. And I would go into the theaters and be watching this movie, and it's very graphic. And I would see parents bringing their little children, 3, 4. Into this movie, watching it. And that was, 6, 7, 8 years ago, before the pandemic. Yeah, I really mean pandemic. That's what it was. But, you know, But when a preacher gets up here and starts talking about topics, and everybody's like, "Whoo! I can't believe he said that." But the rest of the week, our kids are watching all kind of filth on TV. You don't believe me? Flip over there to the Disney Channel. They're promoting homosexuality. They have animation cartoons out there showing gay pride. Well, we can sit there and let them watch that, right? Old preacher says something. And the reason I'm saying that, I want to speak on sexual immorality. It is rampant. You see, we are not supposed to glorify any form. We should be a people. Before even getting married. Or if we're going to get married, or we are married, if we're thinking about getting married, we should not practice sexual relationships before marriage. Purity, abstinence is important. Saving yourself for that right man or that right woman is important, because God says it's important. See, Adam and Eve, they were married, and they were supposed to tend this garden, and they were supposed to have children. But Satan said, I'm going to deceive Eve. I will allow Eve to be deceived, or Eve allowed herself to be deceived by Satan. And that's where all this comes in. And then when you calm this and say, hey, you know, you don't really have to have sex before marriage, and you don't have to do this. You know, if you get pregnant, okay, you can have an abortion. Why? You're saying it's okay to kill your child? Murder. Over 60 million and growing. Dying. Because we have sacrificed our children. And America is number one at sacrificing our children to that. We can get mad at Israel and say, oh, look at that. They sacrificed their children to Baal or whatever. No, we surpassed them. And look what God did to them. And you don't think that same judgment is going to fall on America for abortion? Abortion on demand. Let's look at that scripture again. Jeremiah 7, 1 through 10. In what instance I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom to pluck up and pull down and destroy it. The nation whom I have pronounced, turn from their evil. Turn from their evil. I repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instance will I shall speak concerning a kingdom to build and to plant? If I do evil in my sight, that obey not my voice, that I repent of the good where I shall and would benefit them. Will we repent of our evil? One day, it may get truly real for us. And preachers like me at the pulpit preaching will be centered out. And those who are preaching these feel-good messages, I guarantee they're not going to stand in the sense they will go with this progressive Christianity that's taking over. Oh, we don't want to preach on hell, or we don't want to preach on sin. Oh, you can keep sinning and living in your sin. Oh, you don't have to live a life that is separate. Do what I will. That's the slogan of the Satan's temple. Do what I will. And that's the slogan of America. Do what I will. Oh, love has no gender. If you want to be a man, if you're a woman, so be it. If you want to be a woman and a man, so be it. If you want to get together, it doesn't matter if you're a man and woman, do it. Free love is abomination. And men of God like me that are preaching on scriptures like Romans 1, 23 and 32. It goes like this, and he changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to a corruptible man, to the birds and four-footed beasts, creeping things, wherefore God also gave up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their bodies between them. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up. He gave them up. He said, I'm done. And to vile reflections, for even the women to change the natural use into which is against nature. And likewise also men leaving the natural use of the one, burning their lust one toward another, man with man working which unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was met, and even as they did like, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, because they want to be God, right? God gave them up to a reprobate mind, to those which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignance, whispering, backbiting, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedience to parents, without understanding, covet, without natural affections, implacable, merciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things is worthy of death. And some will say, oh, I know that, but they have pleasure in them that do it. Scriptures like 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. Know ye not the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? God will not bring unrighteousness into the kingdom of God. He calls us to be holy because He is holy. Be not deceived, neither fornicators or idolatry, nor adulterers, nor offenders, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor reviler, nor extorter. He said, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. And such was of you, but you are washed. He said, you are washed. You are sanctified. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God that lives in us. The Holy Spirit will sanctify and justify. You cannot live in that sin. You can't live in that sexual morality. Even thinking about it drives you to conviction and chastisement. If you're thinking about getting married, seek that man of God that wants you for you as a woman of God, not because of your body. If you seek that, your marriage will be beautiful. I know the pool is getting thin on that one. Revelations 21, 7 through 8 said, "He that overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God. And he shall be my son." That's beautiful. But let's not stop there. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, all liars, as including white lies, shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I didn't write this. Revelations 22, 14 through 15. "Blessed are they that do his commandment." Do his commandment, his way, "that they may have the right to the tree of life," meaning eternal life, everlasting life, "may enter through the gates into the city. For while our dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters who have loved make a lie," and that's just another reference to 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, meaning unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Of course, you can go to Galatians 5. You can look at the works of the flesh, and we're supposed to walk in the Spirit, right? One example I'm going to give very briefly here, and I did share some of this stuff on our Facebook, Fisher Facebook page. So I listed like three articles that when I was just studying and praying and seeking God through the week and travailing over this message, I just share, and I'll share articles on Fisher, so I encourage you guys to check those out. I won't say, you know, we got kids in, so I won't be adult entertainment. You guys kind of get why I want to talk about adult entertainment. One of the things, and there's several stats here. I think the one that really rocked me was this one. 68% church-going men and more than 50% of pastors view adult entertainment, and that is porn. That's where we're at in a nation that has turned, that has turned its face from a God. That is a real epidemic within our churches, sexual immorality. In closing, I won't just read those verses again, and I want those to sink in today. "In what instance I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and pull down, to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil I thought to do unto them. In what instance I shall speak concerning a kingdom built and to plant it, and if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, I will repent of the good within I said until I would benefit." I encourage you guys to think about those scriptures, even looking through the whole book of Jeremiah, and looking at exactly what he was called to do in a time where there was a turning away from the Word of God. It's very similar to America. And earlier we talked about how 6% only view the world. There are only 6% that look the way they should live their life. Biblical. 6%. And I hope none of you guys fall in that category that's between you and God. I am just here to say that we need, this message is important. If you are one of those that fall in that category, today is a time to say, "No, I will not fall in that category." Repentance was his message from our sins, and the repentance of us individually, a sin and a sin of our nation. And when God was giving that illustration to that to Jeremiah when he was looking at that potter and he was looking at the clay. He said, here, look at that potter and look at that clay, and you are the clay. A nation is a clay. I am the potter. I am sculpting you. And I'm sculpting a nation. But they have to make a choice. They have to make a choice to repent of their wickedness and their evilness. They have to make a choice if they're going to stand on the Word of God, or they're going to take their Bible today and just throw it in the back seat of their vehicle and don't wait to look at it till next Sunday. Or where they will say, I will stand on the Word of God. I will be that leader in my home. I will be that spiritual leader that God has called me. I will pray with my family. I will seek God with my family. I will do Bible studies in my family. Are we? And those that are single and seeking a man of God or a woman of God, is that man truly living his life by Scripture? You can compromise that. You can take that and throw it to the ground and take it as a man that's out of date and not connected. But I guarantee you, I am connected to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit burns in my loins to call for repentance to a nation, and they may not want to hear it. I will proclaim it to the end until they throw me in jail, until they take my life. I don't care. This is not my life. It's all God's. He's called me at a time to progress, to say, repent. And we do it on an individual level. Because individually, we're important. Individually, we matter. Individually, we make a difference. It starts with us. As we walk out into that world, we know people that are turning from God. We know people that are not living a life like they should. We know people that don't even know about Jesus. Tell them. You don't even have to bring them to church. You can be the church. You can tell them right there who Jesus is by studying your Scripture. Tell them who Jesus is before it's too late. This world is desperately looking for hope, and we are supposed to be that hope. We are supposed to be that light. We prove that voice that God has called us out into that wilderness to preach the gospel. Are we? Are we truly broken at the altar? Are we too humble to the Word of God? When we look at it, do we cry over it and say, Lord, I know what you're telling me. I'm not strong, but you are. Guide me and direct my life, God. Break me, humble me before you. See, a man of God should be humble and broken before he gives the Word of God. A person should be humble and broken before he witnesses somebody out there. Because I can tell you, they can tell the difference. They can tell if you're all in. They can tell if you're just faking. They can tell you the way how you live your life. If you truly are different, are you? Are you? Repentance. Today, as we look into our hearts, as we stand, a verse or two of invitation, I don't know your heart, and it's not my job to know your heart. All I know is I love every one of you guys, and I pray over y'all daily. In my tears and on my prayer list, I pray by name over each and every one, because I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where you're at. All I know is God knows. He knows everything that you're doing throughout that week. You're not fooling God. You're not. He sees every thought. He sees every movement. He knows what you're doing at home. He knows what you're reading at home. He knows what you're watching at home. He sees all of that. The thing is, the more we cling to the Word of God, the less likely we cling to this world.
Acts 1:24, verse 9.